the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, since this is the first episode, I'm going to go ahead and give you a little introduction to myself and let you know what I'm all about and what this show is all about. I'm just a sports fan through and through. I didn't grow up playing sports, but I did grow up watching sports. I'm 36 years old, so I've watched a lot of sports. I can't name a time in my life where I haven't watched sports. And it's very time consuming for me just in my life, and it's not anything I would ever complain about either. It's something that I love. And that's why I started this show. This show is just a sports fan's point of view. And I feel that's just something that a lot of people want to hear, is what a sports fan has to think at certain times. Personally, I was born in San Jose, California, grew up in Reno, Nevada, and now spent the last 14 years here in Austin, Texas. I'm a paralegal. I work for a workers' comp attorney. We represent insurance companies on workers' comp claims. I also am a rapper. I'm signed to and work for a record label called Black Man Records. I'm a solo artist. If you just Google Katie Trop, you will find me all over the place. I've got 6 solo albums and features on many, many projects. I'm also the VP of operations with Black Man Records, so I work for the label. And I'm also a huge-ass sports fan. So now that we got a little bit of personal things out of the way with me, let's go ahead and just talk some sports. Sports that I like, that you're going to hear me talking about mostly, are going to be football, baseball, and basketball, UFC, and boxing, if big events come up for both of those. Sports you will not hear me discussing will be soccer, because I think it sucks. Tennis, I think it sucks. Golf, boring as fuck. Most certainly will not be discussing the Olympics. I do not discuss any type of sport that glorifies second and third place. That pretty much covers it. I'm just going to be talking about the main sports. Those other ones, if you got, I understand that it takes a lot of talent to play those sports. I know there's people who just heard me say I hate soccer or whatever, and they're starting to get, you can't play soccer. Yeah, I know I can't play soccer. I know it takes skill, and I know you need to be athletic, and it's a difficult sport to play, but it's also a boring-ass fucking sport for me, and I would literally rather stare at a fucking wall, because at least eventually I'll start to hallucinate something interesting at the wall other than watching a fucking soccer match where the ball just is constantly going out of bounds. So yes, I understand all these sports that I just mentioned. They are difficult, and they are activities, and they're difficult to do, but I don't give a shit about them. So if you got a problem, go take it to your mama. All right, so now that we got that out of the way, let's discuss the teams that I love. For NFL, I'm a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. As a matter of fact, I am Dallas Cowboys everything. I have my entire life. Anybody who knew me growing up, any pictures you see of me as a kid, I am covered in Dallas Cowboys. So yes, people, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I'm going to be talking a lot of shit during these playoffs, or crying a lot if they lose, because we all know that can happen. NBA team, LA Lakers all the way. Baseball, San Francisco Giants, and college, I'm a Texas Longhorns fan. Teams that I hate, for the NFL, I hate the Giants. I hate the Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins. The Philadelphia Eagles are probably my least favorite team in the league. I also hate the Packers as well. Grew up hating the Packers, and so I don't ever root for them. And then there's a couple other side teams that I'll probably mention that I hate over time and through the NFL, but they're just not coming up to the top of my mind right now. In basketball, can't stand the Celtics, hate the Clippers. There's other teams as well, but nothing's coming to mind at this moment. In baseball, can't stand the Dodgers, can't stand the Red Sox. And in college, definitely can't stand the OU Sooners and can't stand USC. So we got that out of the way. Like I said, this is a show about a sports fan's perspective. This is not going to be a political show. So if that's what you're looking for, there are plenty of Reddit boards, plenty of social media that you can go to if you want to go discuss whatever stupid, idiotic political trash there is out there. This is absolutely 100% not a political show. It is a sports show. I give zero fucks about politics. Straight the fuck up. Also, as you can notice, I swear. So if you have a problem with that, that's your fucking problem. When you're discussing sports, when you're watching sports, swearing happens. And I have a potty mouth, and I love my potty mouth, and I'm damn fucking proud of that potty mouth. So if you have little kitties at home that you don't want them to hear swearing, well, then you either want to turn this off or get them out of the room. Or if you are an actual good parent, you will just turn to your kid and say, do not speak like her. How about that? That's what you should do. All right, so now that we got what a fucking bitch I am out of the way, let's talk some sports. Well, one thing I do want to say, what really got me to doing this is that years ago I started a blog, Sports Talk with Trop, which is the name of the podcast. That's where I got it from. But I still do a blog around the playoffs. Usually I just make playoff predictions during NFL, MLB and NBA seasons, and I'm still going to be doing that. Anytime I make predictions on the show, I'm still going to post that. SportsTalkWithTrop.blogspot.com is where you can find it, or you can just go to my website, katietrop.net, and you can find it there as well. All right, so, then I also started working with my friend Simon. He's been having me do guest spots on his show every Monday and Friday, and that's kind of what got the kick in my ass to do this. People have been telling me I should do a sports podcast because they love talking sports with me. Random people love talking sports with me. A job I used to work at, I used to work at a postal store that was at a strip mall, and if people would see me as they're walking, because it was next door to a Starbucks, if they would be walking in and out of the Starbucks and they'd see me from the street, they would just come in to talk sports with me. They wouldn't even come in to patronize the store. They would literally just be like, oh, shit, Katie's there. Let me go talk some sports. So doing guest spots on Simon's show was what a kick in the ass to get me to finally do this. Shout out to Simon. Still going to be doing his show, too. Catch me there on Monday and Friday discussing sports with him. So let me go ahead and start off with the NFL. We got a big weekend of playoffs coming up. But since the season just ended, I guess I should go ahead and recap my season predictions that I made that were posted on my blog and see how wrong I was. Because that's one of the reasons why I do the blog, is because I don't mind being right or wrong. I'm not one of those people who has an issue with being wrong. I can fully admit when I'm wrong, and I will do it on this show too, because I guarantee there's going to be a couple of games this weekend that I'm going to talk some shit on, and I might have to eat some crow at the beginning of the week. Also, I forgot to mention that this is going to be a show. I'm going to do it at the beginning of the week and every Friday. And I say beginning of the week because this Monday would not be a good day to do it, since there's still going to be a playoff game on Monday. So I'm going to be doing the show Tuesday and Friday of next week. But every Friday I'm going to be doing it. And then either every Monday or Tuesday is when I'm going to do it, so we can recap the weekend of sports. So let me go ahead and get into how I predicted the season. And let's see where I was wrong and let's see where I was right. Well, on the NFC side, I predicted that the Buccaneers would win their division, the Rams would win their division, the Cowboys would win their division, and the Packers would win their division. And I was right on all four of those. Then I also predicted that the wild cards would be the Seahawks, Vikings, and Panthers. And I was wrong on all of those. As a matter of fact, all those teams were complete trash this season. And then you move over to the AFC side. I predicted that the Bills would win their division, that the Chiefs would win their division, the Ravens would win their division, and the Titans would win their division. I was wrong on the Ravens. That ended up being the Bengals. And then for the wild cards, I picked the Chargers, the Browns, and the Colts. All wrong. They actually weren't trash can teams, but they actually had a shot at playoffs, but they didn't make it. And so who ended up making it were were the Buccaneers, the Packers, the Eagles, the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Cardinals, and the Rams on the NFC side. On the AFC side was the Raiders, Bengals, Titans, Patriots, Bills, and the Steelers and the Chiefs. So I actually didn't do too bad. Didn't do too bad with my predictions. Got about half right, got about half wrong. That sounds about right. So let's see how the season ended up with some statistics and leaders. Leading the league in passing was the one and only Tom Brady, the unicorn who never dies. He led the league with 5,316 yards. Next behind him was Justin Herbert at 5,014 yards. Well, I mean, that alone just goes to show you Tom Brady is the motherfucking GOAT. And if you thought he was going to get worse with age, it's turned into the exact opposite. And it's insane that he led the league this year with over 5,000 yards. And he basically led the league in passing yards from like week one. So that dude is, it's just insane what he's continued to do throughout his career. Then you move over to the rushing side. Jonathan Taylor with the Indianapolis Colts had 1,811 yards. That is out of control. The second person behind him was Nick Chubb with 1,259 yards. So Jonathan Taylor blew every single person away this season. I thought he would have been the MVP just because of his dominance this year and how the Colts, they seemed to get better as he got better as the season went on, but then they fell those last 2 weeks, and so there was no way he would even have a shot at MVP, nor should he have, because your team should at least make the playoffs if you're going to be an MVP. Then in receiving was Cooper Kupp with the LA Rams, and man, that dude not only led the league in receiving, but he led he basically got football's triple crown for receivers, led the league in touchdowns, receptions, and receiving yards, and he did it by a mile. So, you know, congrats to all those league leaders. And as you can tell, most of them are on playoff teams except for Jonathan Taylor, but they are not in the playoffs because of his play. Then we also had some fired coaches this week. Usually right after week 18, usually somebody gets fired. There's usually about 7 or 8 coaching openings every season. And so this year it started off with Vic Fangio of the Broncos. I can't disagree with that one. The team never improved under him. They never get it going at quarterback. And it looked like they just really needed the change there in Denver. Then you've got Mike Zimmer, who was fired from the Vikings. Another one where you look at and you go, that just needed to happen. He was given his time, and the Vikings were never a consistent team, and they weren't really ever a legit competitor for the Super Bowl, at least in my opinion, under Mike Zimmer. Then you had Matt Nagy with the Bears. We all pretty much expected that to happen at the beginning of the season. If the Bears didn't get it together this year, we pretty much knew that guy was getting fired. One of the biggest surprises to me was Brian Flores with the Dolphins. Just goes to show why the Dolphins are a terrible organization and have been a terrible organization for many decades at this point. But hey, good on Brian Flores. He doesn't have to deal with that shit anymore. Then Joe Judge with the Giants. That was a late one. I think on like Tuesday or Wednesday they fired him. I wasn't really shocked by that one just because I remember when he was hired and I was like, well, what does he have to offer? I mean, he wasn't even really that big of a deal. He was like a special teams coach with the Patriots, and the Giants just never bought into his system, and they just got progressively worse as the season went on, and they just had absolutely no offense and were just an atrocious team. So I kind of felt like he had to go. Then just yesterday, David Culley of the Texans was fired. I wasn't surprised by that one either, just because I knew when they hired him last year, he was going to be a one-and-done coach. The Texans didn't seem like they were real serious about this season. I kind of felt like they were going to be tanking from the beginning as soon as they found out, shit wasn't going to work out with Deshaun Watson, and he just was not going to play this year. So I think they just were like, let's hire some bullshit coach. Let's get a nice draft pick for the following season and just rebuild from here. Kind of, it's basically the story of the Texans since they've came into the league. During the season, we also had the joke that was Urban Meyer. He was fired from the Jaguars midseason. I thought that was going to be a joke from the beginning, and it turned into an even bigger joke in the end. And then we also had the witch hunt that was the firing of John Gruden from the Raiders. Their coaching position is not open right now since they're in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to retain Bisaccia as the coach, and I really wouldn't. I would say you should at least check out your options at this point if you're the Raiders, because there are a lot out there. Especially with guys like they're out there like Brian Flores or even the possibility of Jim Harbaugh leaving Michigan. So I don't think Bisaccia is coming back, even though that Raiders position is yet to be open. All right, so let's discuss some playoffs. We got the wild card weekend this weekend. The only two teams that will not be playing this week will be the Packers on the NFC side and the Titans on the AFC side. They got the number one seed, so they get the bye weeks. The first game we're going to start off with on Saturday is the Raiders at the Bengals. The Bengals right now are favored by 5.5. The Raiders, they really came into the playoffs on fire, and they're just playing some great football. I really give it up to Derek Carr. If the Raiders don't retain Derek Carr, I think there's something wrong with them. They are ridiculous if they don't keep him. He's proved he's a great leader. He's just a really good quarterback. I feel like if he had more weapons, especially at receiver, this offense would be something else. With that being said, they are in the playoffs. And the reason why I think they are in the playoffs is because of his leadership and because he doesn't back down. And you could tell he's just a very driven individual. And I really respect just how he's handled himself this season. Then you look at the Bengals side, and man, Joe Burrow is just really coming to his own. I don't like to give I don't really like to hop on the bandwagon if you're a quarterback who's been in the league only a couple seasons. But Joe Burrow is really proving that he's definitely going to be the future of the league. This Bengals offense is just lights out. Jamar Chase has just given them a whole new element. And they have a great receiving core. Joe Mixon's, he's doing his thing at running back. And their defense is holding their own. I still think they have some holes in the defense, but I think they made it this far, so they were good enough. In this matchup, I have the Bengals winning this one 30-20. I just think, they're the better team. The equalizer in this game is that neither of them have any playoff experience. So usually in that case, you just got to go with the better team. And I mean, neither coach has experience in this position. Neither quarterback has experience in this position. As a matter of fact, Joe Burrow probably does have a little bit more experience in this position just because he has won a national championship. So this kind of pressure, while it's not the same, but he kind of knows what it's all about. So I do think the Bengals are finally going to get their first playoff win since 1990. And I think they're going to be moving on to the divisional round. Like I said, good season by the Raiders. And, hey, I would not be shocked if they did end up winning this game because they are playing some great football. Then next up on Saturday, we've got the Patriots at the Bills. This is going to be the third matchup this season, two division rivals. They played some really good games this season. The first one, it was in Buffalo and had that crazy weather, and Mac Jones only threw for three passes, but yet that ground game of the New England Patriots just gashed the Bills, and it was just a really well-coached game by Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick's really proven that he is one of the greatest coaches of all time. And if you really thought that the Patriots slump was going to last a long time, I really hope that you enjoyed last year, because that was probably all we're going to get, because the Patriots are probably only going to get better from here on out. I don't really believe in Mac Jones. He's a very mediocre quarterback. But, I mean, Bill Belichick, I believe in the dude. And I feel like if they get him a top receiver, this offense will be taken to a whole other level. But in this matchup, you know, the Bills, they've really turned it on towards the end of the season. Offensively, they're not what I feel like we all expected them to be at the beginning of the season. They're not really blowing people out like you would expect, but hey, they're still here. They're one of the top teams in the AFC, and I still feel like they've got a real shot at the Super Bowl. In this matchup, they're actually favored by 4 points. I have Buffalo winning this one 24-17. I think it'll definitely be a close one, but I have a feeling the Buffalo defense is going to get at Mac Jones, show you that he really is a rookie, and he's going to make some rookie mistakes. I imagine he's probably going to have a pick or two, maybe a fumble, and set the Bills up in nice position to get some easy scores. It's like I said, it's going to be a close one because this is the playoffs, and I got the Bills winning this one 24-17. But like I said, I expect the Patriots to come on strong next year and be one of the best teams in the league. Then on Sunday, first game is going to be Eagles at Buccaneers. Right now, the Bucs are favored by 8.5 points. There's expected to be a pretty bad rainstorm in Tampa that week, that weekend or that day. I don't think it really matters. Tom Brady's playing. The Eagles, they're not a good team at all. They did really turn it on towards the end of the season. They do have the best ground game in the league, but offensively, they don't spark to me. And they have a lot of holes in this team. And I just kind of feel like this is going to be one of those games where Tom Brady just goes off. And I don't think it's going to be close at all. I think the Buccaneers are going to win 41-14. I think it's just going to be one of those games where you see that the Buccaneers are the much better team, and the Eagles just backed their way into the playoffs, and here they are. So I got the Bucs winning that one. Next is probably the game of the week, 49ers at Cowboys. Cowboys right now are favored by 3. This is a nice throwback to the 90s playoffs when the Cowboys and Niners would just go at it every single year. And the winner of this matchup would always be the Super Bowl champ in all of the matchups, except for the one in the 80s with the catch. But other than that, this is a new generation, so I'm pretty interested to see what's going to happen with this one. I've got my Troy Aikman jersey on today because, you know, I got to channel that 1992 championship game. Cowboys get the big win in that one, so hopefully we're going to see the same thing this weekend. I do have the Cowboys winning 31-21. Overall, they are the better team. The 49ers, they're a good team. Their ground game is something else. Shanahan's a great play caller. But Jimmy Garoppolo, I think the injury is not good for him. But I also have a feeling that, like, it's going to be real difficult for that offensive line to try and block DeMarcus Lawrence on one side, Randy Gregory on the other side, and Micah Parsons coming at you through the middle. It's going to be real difficult for them. Then you got Trayvon Diggs in the secondary, and Jimmy G's known to turn the ball over. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think the Cowboys defense is going to dominate this one. I think they're going to have a turnover or two to help set the offense up in good field position to get some easy scores. The 49ers on the defensive side, they've got an excellent pass rush with Nick Bosa. But also at the same time, their secondary is one of the worst in the league, and the Cowboys have some of the best receivers in the league. We've got Amari Cooper out there. We've got CeeDee Lamb out there. We've got Wilson back there. We've got Dalton Schultz out there, and then we've got Zeke in the backfield. So I think the Cowboys are just going to have a little bit too much offensive power. I also can tell that they're pretty pissed off this week because, man, everybody's turned into the biggest fucking 49ers fan over this last week and feel like the Cowboys are chopped liver. And I know the Cowboys haven't won over the years, so they have nothing to show and say, well, you should believe in this. Of course, they shouldn't. You shouldn't look at the Cowboys and go, oh, yeah, they're a shoo-in for this. But if you really look at it on paper, they are the better team. They are one of the better teams in the league. And I also find it amusing that because of the division they're in, everybody mocks them like, oh, they're in the shittiest division. Well, you know what? The NFC North ain't that fucking good, and the Packers have been dominating that division Aaron Rodgers' entire career. So we don't make up that excuse for him, but we do for the Cowboys. But I can tell in their press conferences this week, they are pissed off, and I think they're going to play pissed off. And I think we're going to get a good game, good old smash mouth 49ers-Cowboys game. And I think the Cowboys are going to come out with the win on the, win with this one. Then the night game on Sunday is going to be Steelers at the Chiefs. Now, the Steelers have no business being in the playoffs. They were just an awful team this year. I really have no idea how they made it this far, but here they are. And all you got to do is get into the tournament. The Chiefs right now are favored by 12.5, which I kind of find amusing. Like I said, the Steelers aren't that good, but this is a playoff matchup. And while, yes, the first time they played each other, like 3 weeks ago, the Chiefs absolutely embarrassed the Steelers, and I don't expect that to be the end result with this one. I think the Steelers are happy that they're going to get to go back to Kansas City and redeem themselves for that absolute atrocious mess. But with that being said, this is going to be my upset pick of the weekend. I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the reason why is just because with the Chiefs, I haven't really believed in the Chiefs this season. They are the number two seed. They did get on a nice win streak, but overall, they're not the same team that went to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. Their offense still has firepower, but they don't seem to get it going. They get it going in the first quarter. Usually on the first or second drive, they'll drive right down the field. It'll look like same old Chiefs, like Travis Kelce will be making big plays. Tyreek Hill will be making big plays. And they'll get down the field, score those 7 points, and then the rest of the game, it's a struggle for them. And there's been a few games where they got lucky in the win just because the other team either made some major mistakes or just wasn't that good. And the teams that they beat up on were not good at all. Whereas the Steelers, ever since Ben Roethlisberger announced basically his retirement, he hasn't said he's retiring, but I mean, we kind of got the hint when he said a couple weeks ago against the Browns, his last game in Pittsburgh was more than likely going to be that Monday night game. And ever since then, that's really sparked a light in the ass of the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. And they aren't playing beautiful football right now, but they're playing good enough. And like I said, I think it left a bad taste in their mouth. That horrible game they had a few weeks ago in Kansas City where they lost. I can't even remember the end score, but it was something like 45-10, and it was never a close game from the start. And so usually when that happens, you tend to bounce back. And so I look at both of these teams, and I think they're going in different directions, and it's just one of those playoff matchups where it's like the Chiefs aren't playing that well. Even coming into the playoffs, they almost got beat by the Broncos, a team that had nothing to play for last week, and really just a major mistake with that fumble by the Broncos in their own red zone really cost them the game. And because, I mean, if they didn't get that, or if the Chiefs didn't get that fumble, I think we'd be looking at the Chiefs coming into this game with a 2-game losing streak. But I've got the Steelers winning this one 21-20. I think it's going to be a close one. I think it's going to be a dirty game. I think it's going to be one of those games where you're like, who's going to score? And like I said, man, this is Ben Roethlisberger's last year, and I am a huge Ben Roethlisberger fan. I've been a huge Ben Roethlisberger fan since he was drafted in 2004. I remember watching that draft. I remember I was excited he went to the Steelers just because I didn't want him to go to the Giants, because I'm like, shit, if he goes to the Giants, I can't root for him. But at the time, the teams that needed the quarterbacks were the Giants, the Chargers, and the Steelers. And I was like, if he goes to the Chargers or Steelers, I can root for him. And he got drafted by the Steelers. I remember all the playoff runs he's had. Shit, when they were showing on ESPN that Monday night, his last Monday night in Pittsburgh, they were showing a bunch of highlights from over his career. And I'm just like, damn, I've watched his entire career. I remember that game. I remember the game where the AFC Championship, it wasn't the championship, I think it was the divisional round. Regardless, it was in the playoffs. Pittsburgh was in Indianapolis. Jerome Bettis is getting ready to do what he does. They're at the 1-yard line. Jerome Bettis should just walk right into the end zone. And no, what happens is he fumbles it. Colts get it. And Ben Roethlisberger just grabs the dude's foot and just wins the game for him. The Indianapolis was not able to get in field position. And they missed their field goal at the end, and the Steelers moved on. And so it's just like, I've really enjoyed Ben Roethlisberger's entire career. So for me personally, I am rooting for the Steelers to go on. And I think they can go on because he is he's had the second most game-winning drives in NFL history, and there's a reason why. And, I mean, he's done it these last couple of games going into the playoffs, and I think he's going to do it in this game. I actually think we are going to get a game-winning drive from Ben Roethlisberger this week. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing him for one more week. Then the last game this week in the wild card round is going to be on Monday night, the first Monday night playoff game ever. I am all about this adding of football games on different days of the week. I could literally watch football every single day of the week. I know why we don't have football every single day of the week, because it is a difficult game. It's really hard, and you've got to get your body right. So I understand why it can't be done, but if you think I'm one of those people complaining about Thursday night football and Saturday football and Friday football, no. I love having football on every single day. And so this season, where we get the Monday night football game for the playoffs, that's perfect in my opinion. And so we've got the Cardinals at the Rams. Right now the Rams are a 4-point favorite, another divisional matchup. They split the season series. The Rams got absolutely annihilated at the beginning of the season by the Cardinals. But then when they faced off the second time, the Rams got the better of them in a close matchup. This time around, I think the Rams are going to come out on top. I've got them winning 28-23. And the reason why is just because both of these teams are neutral. The equalizer is, it's like both of these teams, they're coming in on horrible losses. The Cardinals are doing what the Cardinals have done so far in Cliff Kingsbury's entire career as the Cardinals coach, and that is they fall apart towards the end of the season, and they've really fallen apart. I think a huge reason why is DeAndre Hopkins, his injury. That's huge. In my personal opinion, DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the league, hands down. He's such a weapon. He makes every quarterback he's ever played with look that much better. And that is not a diss to the quarterbacks he's played with, but he is, to me, the equivalent of like how Peyton Manning was with a lot of his wide receivers. Peyton Manning would literally make his wide receivers. I don't think Marvin Harrison's career would even have been half of what it was if it wasn't for somebody like Peyton Manning being his quarterback. And that's how I feel about DeAndre Hopkins as a receiver, because he's just that dude where if you just throw the ball up in his vicinity and if the entire defense is surrounding him, you still believe that dude has a chance coming down with the football and scoring a touchdown. He's done it time and again, and he's just the best receiver in the league, in my opinion. And so ever since he went down, you could tell this offense has lost a step. And I understand why, because he's just a great receiver. But then the Rams, they're the opposite right now. They are on fire. And yes, they lost last week, but I mean, that was a division opponent. The Niners own their asses. But other than that, the Rams are an excellent team, offensively and defensively. They do need help at the running back position, and that could be their ultimate downfall if they move on further into the playoffs. But they're a high-flying offense, and Matthew Stafford, while he's prone for the turnovers, he also can keep his mind right, and he doesn't let those turnovers ruin. He just doesn't let it hold him back, and overcoming a deficit is not a big deal to him, and I trust him in those big situations. And I mean, he's got a great receiving core. I mean, he's got one of the best receivers in the league with Cooper Kupp. He's got Van Jefferson, who's another great receiver. And then they picked up OBJ in the middle of the season, who's really started to get some chemistry with Matthew Stafford. So it's going to be interesting to see how this offense pans out the rest of the playoffs. But I think they're going to be huge in this game. I don't expect it to be a really high-flying, high-scoring game, just because they both do have really good defense as well. Cardinals, not so much anymore. They started off the season insane on defense, but have really cooled off. But the Rams, they're still one of the best defenses in the league. And when you got Aaron Donald there coming at you, he's gonna be a problem for Arizona and Kyler Murray on Monday night. So I've got the Rams winning that one 28-23. So yeah, those are my predictions for the wild card round. Like I said, I'll be back on Tuesday so we can discuss more playoffs. Whatever other topics happen this weekend, we'll see what happens. But thanks for tuning in. And this is Katie Tropp, and I'll talk to y'all on Tuesday.